great illusion can happen. That illusion is that all of a sudden the dying person becomes full of strength. And you are deceived. You are illusioned by it. He asked you, please put my shell under the cherry tree. I want to look at the maledetes, at the small children playing in the sandbox. Or the dying person will ask, please give me a pizza with olive oil. I used to like it so much. And you go like, wow, nectar. You know, you run and cook for your beloved person. But don't be deceived. This happens often. It's like a last scream of the strength of the living organism before death comes. During this time, he is very awake, he is very clear, and so on and so forth. Okay, but this phase passes away. Now death comes. I will discuss this now. Death is before the door. The blood pressure sinks, the pulse gets changed, and the temperature of the body, especially in the extreme parts of the body, that's the legs and the hands and the arms, becomes cold. But then all of a sudden, his body will become very hot again. It changes. He will ask you for more blankets. Next moment he starts to sweat uncontrollably and asks you, please, it's so hot, can you remove the blankets? Then you shouldn't say, well, you just asked me for the blankets. Just remove them quickly. At this stage, the pain medicine, the medicine to curb down the pain, you can give less medicine, but you have to ask for guidance of a doctor. But usually they don't have to take so many painkillers any longer, because death is just before the death, before the door. Also their breathing changes. Sometimes it goes very fast, up to 40, in the minute, and then very long drawn. And then he has pauses. Very often at that time something happens which shocks the person who is next to the dying man. It's a sound of almost like rattling. It's when the mucus cannot be coughed away, can't be taken out, and it makes this sound, rustle, 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 gargling almost. He feels like a drowning person. At that moment you can help him by taking his body up, and sitting him up, because he has the feeling he is a, what do you call this? He's strangled, choking. Yes, he's choking. He has a feeling, I'm dying now, not from any disease or anything, but I'm dying because I'm strangled. I'm choking. I can't get any breathing. So if it can't be, the mucus cannot be taken away by coughing, you can sit him up. That helps him very much. Now, when he detaches himself from his body, it is very heavy. You can see how the soul... Oh, no soul in the Western tradition. You can see how the person is struggling. Sometimes he seems to be there, sometimes not. We had seen this a little while ago, Gaurachandra had seen it. He told me how the person was really struggling. Sometimes he was there in the body, sometimes it seemed he was no longer there. It was like the struggling between, almost between two wrestlers. One was much weaker than the other. Death almost seems, you can almost see him, how he is struggling with the person, and how the person is, even if he can't move any longer, it can be seen. It is as heavy, it is described, as during birth, childbirth, when the mother is working extremely heavy to bring out the child. I have one disciple where it took 24 hours for her to give birth to the child. Sometimes it goes much, much faster, but in this case, it was a hard labor, and she was often fainting in the process. And the devotees who were next to her said, just go on, you know, don't give up, we are here. Almost like a cheerleader, they went by. And the mother told me, Sachinandan Swami, I've never realized how close birth and death actually are. Only because I wanted to see my child alive, I wanted to look into his eyes, I could actually survive the death of the birth. You know, human men, when men would be exposed to the same pain which the woman experiences during her childbirth, they would surely die. It is not possible for the male organism to deal with this. The women have a special hormone which, you know, gets released and helps them to deal with this pain and not die. So the dying person is almost like what it was during birth. Extremely a struggle. Many people, especially in our age time, fall into coma because the pain is so big. Coma, you know what is coma? It must be in your language also. When a person has fallen in coma, do not think he has left yet. Don't talk, for instance, disrespectful, or talk about inheritance. I wonder what I get from this old person. Because he can hear every single word which you say. We will start our eastern part. We will learn about the process of dying. And we will have a hi-hat projector, if that projector doesn't die also. We will be able to give you leaflets. It is described there that the last sense which leaves you is the sense of hearing. That remains up till the last moment. So if someone is in coma, he hears everything. When you come late, you can come to that person and speak to him and say, so and so, I'm very happy that I can still come and give you my last message. I really appreciate your qualities, and I want to encourage you, please go with a good feeling. Like this you can do. One of the devotees in Germany came to her father, which was already in the coma, and she embraced the father and said, oh father, I'm so thankful for everything you did for me. You gave me birth in this world so that I could come to Krishna consciousness, and you know, that I had a human form of birth, could come to Krishna consciousness. I'm very thankful to you. And she hugged him. And the father, all of a sudden, he had been in coma for a long time, raised his head hand and waved. Thank you. Very nice, daughter, that you have come and given me this solace and these good encouraging words. So, now death is there. The room is now smelly. It's a typical room, a typical sense of smell. What happens is that the body dissolves, and this gives a very particular smell, a basic smell. So what you can do is you can have one of these things here, which make the good smell, that gives a good atmosphere. So he is now almost in the process of dying. His eyes, if he is not in coma, we speak now, we have said goodbye from the coma person. He has died already now. Now, the other is, his eyes are open or half open. But his eyes don't see any longer. They look into the distant, Sometimes they seem to see something or somebody there. Astarada Prabhu helped one Mataji to cross the granitsa of death, and she would talk, "Oh, I see these funny beings." Oh, and she would recognize the faces and so on. And Astarada said, "But he wanted to say, we are alone in the room here. Only the devotee who does kirtan is still here." No, no, but they see, they have a very peculiar perception at the time of death. His pulse become, pupillin? Yes. They don't react any longer. You can go and see, but there's no reaction any longer. Then his heartbeat stops. No, first you see how he gets darker here on the back when he sits there, or on the feet. He gets darker, then his heartbeat and breathing stops. And he disappears. Very often he disappears, he goes with three last breathing. Then he is gone. The Vedas say the human being is a being with half a breath because he can't go. He can't go these two things. It's just in the midst. Boom, he goes. And you can always see it when he is gone. One of my godbrothers, Ishvara Krishna Das, had a brother in the Israeli army who was deadly wounded and then brought to the hospital. So in his last moments, Bill was his name, he was fighting with death, and it became too heavy for the mother to see, so the mother had to go for a short period to the bathroom and then return. Now the mother has seen many sons die, not many, but one or two other sons, because she is the wife of a general, Israeli general. So when she came back into the room, her first question was, "Where is Bill?" And Ishvara Krishna says, he couldn't say anything. He just had happened. And he was so much moved, he could not say. So the mother, who was somehow feeling something, took a photo apparat, you know, and wanted now to make a photo of Bill for the relatives, so that they could say, "You see Bill in this condition." she aimed at the face of Bill, but again asked, "Where is Bill, Ishvara? Tell me, where is Bill, my son?" It's gone. See, I want to tell you something which many Krankenschwester nurses have said. I have one disciple called Krishna Chandra, and he is going often and helping people who die in the hospital. The hospital know when there is someone who has no relatives but who needs help, they can call Krishna Chandra and he will come and help these people. Mostly these are people in coma, because I can imagine, you can understand, the hospital doesn't want to see everyone, doesn't want everyone to get like a culture shock to see a Hare Krishna devotee with his dress. So mostly they take people who are in coma. Krishna Chandra told me, when the patient has just left and the nurse comes back, and she asks always, "Where is so and so?" She has many times seen and knows where the bed is and everything is the same, but she asked this question. Why? I want to tell you. When I go in a room where there are just things like stones or tables, I don't perceive this very much unless I make an effort to look. But if I go in the room and there's one living person, immediately I look to this living person. Immediately. It's the charisma, I could say, from our spiritual perspective of the soul. Or, because we are still in the Western tradition, it's the charisma of the living. But when the living has gone, that attraction that you feel to look towards someone who lives is no longer there. You just, where is? In other words, Bill becomes like a piece of furniture. He is not attractive even to the mother who loves the child. It's her own child. So, when death has come, you can still, if you, oh yeah, very often it is seen that dying people leave when the relative is not there, when he has just gone on the toilet. It seems he wants to sneak away, the dying person. It's very, very often this is there. Very, very often. And the relative thinks, "Oh no, I couldn't be with him in this very important phase, the last phase of his life," and they become all mental maybe, and so on and so forth. But very often the reason is that a dying person does not want to hear the cries and the lamentation of the relatives. It keeps him. He can't go. You know, when one says, "Dear Mariam, dear Marian, dear Marian, don't go, don't go." It's like very painful. It is described. The cries of the relatives at the time of death is like the beating of hail. Do you know hail? The meaning of hail? Hail means tucha. It's like tucha. Or the drumming of drums. So the death, the dying person leaves when such lamenting people are there. If the person has died, it's good to immediately call the doctor so that he can write down a piece of paper. He has died and the cause of death is most properly this and this. If you don't do it, this can create a problem for you. It's very important to get an official statement from the doctor that so-and-so is dead. In our Western culture, this is a touchy point. Yes. You can take a photo, it is recommended. so that others can say goodbye to so and so. May I just know, Udata, we wanted to go up till 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock? Till one. Yes, no, I can. Yes, yes. I will now. So, okay. What I will do is I will take 10 more minutes. Maybe I will see. Well, everything is clear, I think. I will now tell you of something interesting. Thank you. There was an experiment, and I want to tell in New York, in a department of the hospital, there were emergency patients. And this experiment will show us a little bit how helpless people are with the fact of death. I think I need to help you with a little drawing. In this department, in the emergency ward, they had 5 rooms. In room number 1, there were patients who were close to death, but maybe they had 3 months. In a, let me write it better. In room number 5, there were the patients who had like 3 months. And then in room number 4, maybe they had 2 months. In the room number 3, maybe 1. In room number 2, only patients who had maybe like a couple of days, 3 to 4 days. And in room number 1 were the patients who could die at any moment, 0 to 0.5. Now, when the patient needed something, they would press on a button and a little light would come on their door. When patient in room number 2 needed something, they were a couple of patients. When the patients needed something, the light would go on, chup, 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 chup. And in the room of the where the people, the nurses were, this would the lights would start. 5, you know, a light would start, and the 5 would be there. So here, in this part, on the corridor, sat one person with stopwatch. And his duty was, the nurses didn't know about him. His duty was, whenever the light would go on here, he would stop how long the nurses would take to go into the room. Is it clear? Nurses did not know. So they found out that the nurses came very fast to room number 5. Very fast. But They took the longest time to come to room number one, where the people were just about to die and needed the nurses or any medical care baddest. You know, they had the greatest need for medical care. And they tested this phenomena for half a year. And it was always the same outcome. So one day, they confronted all the nurses, about 10 nurses, and said, "Why did you do this? Why did you take so little time, so long time to come to the dying people who needed you most?" And the first reaction of the nurses said, "Come on, this is not possible. We are in this hospital to take care of patients, not to let them suffer." Which is a fact. Do we have a nurse here amongst us? Yes. One nurse is there. Nurses usually have a very soft heart. Those who become nurses are real nice people, usually. Why is it that they came latest? The reason was very, very clear. They had no idea how to deal with death. It is a problem. It's a great tragedy. It's something which cannot so easily be taken care of. And in order to end the session, I will read to all of you now the last day of Mr. N. It's a report, a real report, and it will be very heavy. Mr. N, you must know, had some problem with the heat, like many of you have, and he was taken in the emergency car to the hospital. And he did not know that he would die. No one told him. And his wife now comes to him, and she writes, "My husband became restless. His hand moved to the infusion tubes. And he had one of these closures in his hand. He requested me very urgently I should take the infusion out of his chest. He didn't want infusion any longer. He became almost angry when I did not do his will. And with great, great endeavor, he finally managed to put on the switch, you know, that no infusion liquid came in." So she sees many times, it continues, I told Anne when he became very angry at me and requested me to let him go. He wanted to be free, finally free, and I should now remove the infusion needle out of his chest. I asked him, "Do you want to die or what?" He became very angry about my question and said, Then the doctor said I should go out for a moment, and I went out, and after 1 minute I came back. No, after 10 minutes I came back. I saw how his right hand moved hectic, back and forth. He was very afraid, it seemed to me, and he was taking his bedding back and forth. I could see his every moment. He started to fight in his bed. I went to him and put my hand on his forehead and told him, "Don't be afraid. don't be afraid. Actually, I wanted to say this to him the whole time. My hand was resting on his forehead. I took the hand away, and he was peaceful, very peaceful. Now I could see into his eyes, which I had covered with my hand. They looked broken. Anne was dead. His face had an expression of horror. The head was thrown to the back. It seemed to me that only in the last second he had found out that he must die. And it seemed that he was totally afraid and shocked. Hare Krishna, this is not how you should die. This was the first part of our seminar, Death, the Gate to Immortality. I want to say to you that this was the most intense crying and lamenting. You often also see death as some kind of liberation. Oops, sorry. Liberation. For instance, death has given so-and-so a very soft liberation from his pain. I think we all know this, how it goes. Death has liberated so-and-so from his being with us on earth. This is how death is appearing in the death advertisements. But if we really want to study death, and to remember, in our first part, I'm not talking of reincarnation, I'm not talking of the Bhagavad Gita, and I'm not talking about our Krishna conscious understandings, because I just want to be in the West. I just want to dig up our Western inheritance, our own understanding of death before we came to Krishna consciousness. Hi, Bol. Yes. I have also explained an interpretation of death. What we will do now is interpretations. The first interpretation is death is an absolute horror. Woo. And I will read to you different illustrations of these points. The second is, you will be amazed. People are so unable to deal with death that for them it's a nothing. The third is Auferstehung. Now, what is this? Auferstehung from the death, it's a Christian concept that you have died, and then you are coming out of the grave and going to heaven. Auferstehung. What is this? Steinje, yes. Steinje, something like this. You are from here, you know better than me. The fourth concept is the living death. The living dead person. I know you have no idea what this means, but you will find out in a minute. The fifth is death as a liberation. These are interpretations, right, in history. And the sixth is something which I will not deal with only after lunch. We will deal with this. It's reincarnation. But this concept is not typically Western. It has been imported from the spiritual tradition of the East, where it is understood that death is a lie. It's not existent, because the soul can't die. It can't it also can't come into being. It is always, it is eternal. But we won't deal with this now. First of all, let us hear death as a horror. In the Bible there is a verse, and please forgive me, this is all in German, my notes, so I'm constantly a translating machine here. For the tree there is hope. Because if it is cut and falls to the ground, there's a hope that from it a new tree comes. But the human being is not like this. If he dies, he's gone. The human being doesn't return. He is lost for us forever. When I give a quote from the Old Testament, from the book of Hiob, I do this with great respect to the Christian tradition, but also with critique. When you think that with death everything is finished, then death becomes to you, for you, the ultimate enemy, the greatest, enemy in Christi. There is a picture, you know, of a strong man and he holds a staff of medicine, you know, where there's some snake is there, and he is then fighting. Oh, I'm so bad. With death, and tries to kill him, but he can't. This is a frequent picture which we have seen in this illustration. The second thing is, death is a nothing. Have you all heard about the Greek philosopher Epicurus, I think he must. Some of you have heard? He had a garden where they would meet and discuss philosophy, and there was a shield on the garden. It says, "Wanderer, give up all worries, enter into our garden and enjoy." Something like this. So when Epicurus died, he wrote a goodbye letter. He had a problem with his intestines, and his death was very, very heavy actually. But he wrote that, being a materialist who believed only in material things, that actually there was nothing wrong in dying. Please listen. Everything good and everything bad is based on our perception. But at death, our perception stops. You are smiling very foolishly. But intelligent, but you are nicely entertained. Here again, my dear, you have not listened. I will read it again for you. Everything good and bad is based on our experience, our perception. And death means we lose our perception. We can't perceive it. Death, which is the greatest problem for the normal person, is for us, the followers of my philosophy, nothing. Because if we are there, death is not there. But if death is there, we are not there. No problem. Do you understand? For them, death is nothing. Then we have the third interpretation of death, Staiyanya, something like this, you know better than me. It's somehow that Jesus will come at the last day. He will go over the earth, and every proper Christian has a good cross made from wood or preferably marble or some good iron. And Jesus will see, oh, here is a good Christian. I don't know. Then he will go to some place of judgment, and the good Christian will pass on the judgment and go to the heavens. Well, what else do we have? Yeah, the living dead person. Now this is something which many people don't think very much about. It's a subject matter of the film industry. Some horror movies are based on this. You know, so and so is in the grave, and then comes some voodoo, and then he is somehow put to life again, and then he comes. It's the zombie. Zombie means someone who has actually died and who has been resurrected. Now this concept that the dead person can live and can come into our life is not only something in the horror movies. It's very much there in the customs. For instance, customs of the civilized people. You know why they dress in black? The idea is that black is the color of death, and when the husband has left, the woman will dress in black to show the husband, I'm with you. I'm totally I identify myself with your situation. That's why I'm dressing black. And she will be very careful not to go to happy things, to happy parties or happy festivals. She will always think, what if my husband sees me now? You know, he might do something dangerous might happen. And then the TV, some happy movie comes, she puts it out, and if there's some joke, she will immediately stop, because she is afraid in some ways that the husband will not agree with her happy life, and she shows some form of, I think it's called collegiality or loyalty to the situation. That's the living death. There are other things. In Germany, they have a custom called Leichenschmaus. It's a custom which protects you against the living, against the dead person who is somehow or other still alive in some ways and could get into your life and make problems if he wants. I very much, when I was not yet a devotee, no, when I just had become a devotee, my grandfather died. And he appeared to me very much alive. and did something which I will tell you later when we talk about ghosts and so on. Liberation, we have talked about, you know, some Christians think that with death we go immediately to God. And reincarnation, we will not talk about now. What I intend to do now with you is to take you to the deathbed of a dying person. This will be a little intense. And show you exactly what happens at the time of death. The reason why I'm doing this is because you will all come into the situation when you will die, or you will be asked to help someone who is dying, and in this way you will be you have to be prepared a little bit. But what I will do now is I will take you to the deathbed of a dying person in the Western civilization. You will see how painful everything is, how bad it sounds, because we do not have yet spiritual explanations. After this, yeah, thank you. After this, I will give time for you for questions, and I will give answers. But before we go through this exercise, we will hear our Srila Harikesh Maharaj sing a song about death, so that we tune ourselves in a little bit and prepare ourselves for this very intense part which will follow now. I'm not surprised. We have seen the second death of our technique. That was the first one. Work. It really, during this seminar, obviously things happened. I'm really not surprised. Shishtikata is already afraid that I asked him to put this slideshow, because it always dies in the midst of it. We once were in the Hamburg University. I think you were not there with us. Hamburg University? No. No. And we did it in the midst of it, you know, all the students were like, what is it? You know, clung, it was out. And we were all sitting in the dark, and I said, well, this is how death is. It's all right, don't try to repair it now. You can do it later. We can hear it, because it's a beautiful song, and I really would like you to hear it. Tatpurusha Prabhu, in the next pause you can maybe look for another tape and then we will play it for you. We also have given mouth-to-mouth breathing to the thing. It works already. We don't know how for how long. We will see it in the cultural part this evening. Good. So now, let us see what happens when someone hears he is going to die. Imagine, let me say like this, someone of you went to the doctor. Our Matajis sometimes have to go for women things, and also sometimes for routine investigations you may have to go, you know, the dentist or something. And then he calls you, Mr. or Mrs. Slovenia. And you hear,
Da, yes.
Please sit down, I have to tell you something serious. Are you sitting? Yes, now I'm sitting. Then the doctor says, we have made, you know, we have taken a little of your blood and we have sent it to the laboratory, and we are very sorry. Are you sitting?
Yes, I'm sitting. Tell it.
You have maybe 3 more weeks. Then you have to die. What do you think, how would you react, or how does a normal person react? Let us maybe ask the question, how does a normal person react?
Angry. Panic. Shock.
Usually it's like Udata says, you just don't want to believe it. You don't want to accept it.
I don't accept. That's the first phase. The second phase is protest.
Why me? I'm so healthy. I ate good vegetables. Why me?
The protest. The third is
you want to make some deal.
Make a deal with your fortune.
You say, well, doctor, there must be some alternative way of healing this.
There are many cancer is now a great problem, you might have heard. But there are many alternative health centers, you know, who say, we put some crystal on your cancer and it does something. Or we beat you with a whip and then the cancer will run away. Sorry, I put it here. So, and finally, when you see there is no way out, this is the one test, you can't just run away. Then you get very depressed. This is what everyone goes through. Now, most of the people die in this state, very depressed. However, some can go over the granica, and they, before death, and they begin to accept and then, if they are a little bit enlightened, they become even happy. Because death has lost its horror for them. They know, yes, I will just go through this. And my seminar should bring you here that you are prepared. Happy because you are prepared. Let me now go to you let me now make a critique of this. This is the normal situation in our Western civilization, but it may not be your personal situation. You may find out that you also go through these stages, but if you hear that you are going to die, you might act like Parikshit Maharaj, who understood, I have only a few days to live. Now let me use it in the best possible way and prepare for death. This is a list done by investigating about 5,000 dying patients in a hospital. It is done by the very famous lady Elisabeth Kübler-Ross, Dr. Ross, who has become quite well known for her studies. And she has described these stages, but she says very rare someone can go over this granica. What it means is someone has to give up his attachment for life. This is what it means. But I think Elisabeth Kübler-Ross had amongst her patients no devotees of Krishna, because those devotees generally live in the association of other devotees. We will hear in the last day, tomorrow, many deaths, a few deaths of glorious deaths, I should say, of devotees of Krishna. You will be very amazed when you hear how they leave their body. Glorious. Glorious, glorious, glorious. There was one, I will tell you one little story, because some of you are getting a little bit frustrated with this Western part, so much. Can you see, we have no hope in the Western tradition. Anyways, you should get more frustrated, so listen to this. Hare Krishna. It's an exercise. See, this is like a seminar. It's also a little psychology in there. So, if you want to help someone who dies, you need to understand first of all that the death of the person whom you are now seeing is his own death. It's not your death. He will see it from his perspective. He will say things, feel things, see things which you don't feel, which you don't see, which you can't experience. Then if it happens, don't say, nonsense, this is not existing. Be prepared that what he feels is his own feelings, and try to help. So the last... the time before death, usually a person spends by totally withdrawing. He goes more and more back. He sleeps more than he ever used to sleep. And this is important, because during his dreams, which he has in the sleep, he works over his own past. When he was in his holidays, when he was with his wife and his children, and all the mistakes he did, but also all the good things he did, he just goes through this more and more. Sometimes he is very empty. He notices, I have not utilized my life properly. And he feels a deep sense of inner frustration. Frustration, yes. It's very often this is there. Often when we see a person withdrawing, you know, and he does only gives short answers when we asked him, how are you? And he says, I don't know. And then he's silent. We become afraid. And we begin to think, oh, I wish I could help, but I can't help. He will die now. He will go through this gate of death, and I can't help. Medicine can't help. Then he will start eating less and less and less, and finally eating becomes a big trouble for him, and he will only drink. So that at the end, when he is not able to swallow any longer, this, you know, that you have to do when you drink, then you can put him wet cloth in the mouth, and he will actually be as helpless as he was when he was a baby. Everything is returning, so to say, just like the baby will just suck or drink from the breast of his mother. The dying person can only, you know, suck on a little piece of wet cloth, or you can give him some ice in his mouth. That will help him also, but he can't eat any longer. He can't digest nothing. He will have no orientation of life. It's almost as if with one feet he is amongst the living, and with the other feet he's already on the bank of death, on the other side. And sometimes he's going back and forth, and very often he can't recognize you any longer, because he's so much on this side, the side of the death. When he looks up to you, who are you? Oh, I'm your best friend. Who is my best friend? And you go like, you have to turn away, and you just pleasure tea. Then you come out again, and you say. Then when death approaches, the dying person gets very restless. He begins to pull at his cloth. He begins to pull at the bedding. He wants to shift here, shift there. And often he moves his arms and his legs. Now at this stage,